Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 44. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons, indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forests to meditate with vows of silence, Mona Vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to a shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnav, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can even go to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naiva dvije para duratya vaitaranya. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of the material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.28. Narayana paraksaravehi nakutasana vivyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apitu yarta darshanaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success of the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or in the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all kinds of sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam Tvarasya Sharanam Brahmato Nupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe life after life, but by the grace of the devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or in the forest, where one may make only a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Prayena Deva, text 44 again. Prayena Deva Muniyaksa Vimukti Kama Maunam Charanti Vijanena Paratanishta Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vivimuksha Eko Nanyan Tvarasya Sharnam Ramato Nupashe. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forests to meditate with vows of silence, mona vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet. Maum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pradistai Budhai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tunamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharne. In this verse, it explains about what the goal of yoga, meditation, spiritual life, etc. That the goal is to become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious, and to engage in Krishna's devotional service to fulfill his purpose. Krishna has created the material world for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring his children back to the spiritual kingdom. Of course, one may become confused because part of Krishna consciousness also means some of these things, such as meditation on Krishna. We're also spiritualists, etc. But the difference is that our meditation is on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we know that Krishna is a person. We know what he looks like, what his parents are like, what his abode is like, what his activities are like. Everything is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we do want to meditate. We want to come to the platform of being able to constantly think of Krishna 24 hours a day. All of Krishna's pure devotees are always eternally situated in such meditation. For instance, the residents of Dwarka, they were so much absorbed in meditation on Krishna that they were not even aware of themselves. And this is true of the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, the cowherd boys. They forgot about their own existence. All they could do is think of Krishna and be aware of Krishna's existence. So how to come to that position? Prabhupada writes in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 65, in the verse, Manmana bhava ban bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishisi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances to me. The result is that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. The process of becoming fully Krishna conscious is not simply meditation, or as Prabhupada writes in the purport, that one should not simply become an official meditator, that one should mold his life in such a way is that throughout 24 hours a day, he cannot help but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who comes to this platform, he's guaranteed of going back to the spiritual world. In other words, we cannot separate our activities from our consciousness. That if we perform the proper activities, then they'll also help us to come to the proper consciousness. And if we're in the proper consciousness, that will also encourage us to perform the proper activities. But if we think, let me simply engage in activities without the proper consciousness, and if I, that will not be very successful. That is called niyamagraha. If year after year, or day after day, year after year, we engage in the authorized activities, coming to the morning program, performing our devotional service, but we don't understand that we have to come to the proper consciousness of thinking of Krishna's form, quality, pastimes, then we'll feel unsatisfied because our activities of devotion will not be very developed. On the other hand, if we try artificially to simply think of Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes in an immature stage without performing activities which were favorable towards helping us remember these form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna, then we'll become frustrated and conclude that the process is too difficult. Therefore, we should understand that we are performing these activities of devotion, the morning program, our service to Krishna, so that we can think easily of Krishna's form, his quality, his pastimes, his loving exchanges with his devotees. Ultimately, that means for us, so we can chant Hare Krishna in such a way as that these things automatically, naturally appear. That by chanting Hare Krishna nicely, that it's very easy to remember Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes. And if one can remember Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes spontaneously, or if he can remember these things, that is also nice, but it is not so easy sometimes. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he's shown us what is the easiest process to constantly remember Krishna. That is by strong feelings of separation from Krishna. And to develop these strong feelings of separation from Krishna, we serve Krishna in separation by trying to expand this Krishna consciousness movement. That is Krishna's desire that this Krishna consciousness movement is expanded. And by serving that desire of Krishna, we develop our service towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and therefore our feelings of separation towards Krishna. But the more one feels separated from Krishna, then the more one naturally associates with Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says here, Naiva dveje paradratya vaitaranyas tvarvirya gayana mahamrita magnachitak so chevi mukha chetasa indriyarta maya sukaya bharam udvatato vimuda. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was not interested in this external type of meditation, this superficial type of self-realization, superficial in the sense that it may bring one, certain types of meditation, certain types of activities, may bring one to realize that one is a spiritual being and realize the spiritual nature of everything, even to the point of merging oneself into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. But these things are not ultimately very deep because we are actually a personality. We have a spiritual form. We have a spiritual personality. We have spiritual qualities. And we are hankering for that. We are hankering for that experience. And simply by realizing something superficial will not satisfy the soul. Therefore, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered this, he was not very interested. Just like, for instance, a very hungry person, if he's offered the peel of a banana, he's not very satisfied. If he's really hungry, he may derive some satisfaction, but he won't be very satisfied. Or if one is dying of thirst in the desert, and suddenly the rescue van comes, runs out of the rescue van, takes their bottle of water to save you, holds you up to put the water into your mouth and one drop comes out. and practically as soon as it hits your tongue, it immediately evaporates because of the heat. And then jumps back into the van looking for another victim. So such a superficial type of salvation of help cannot actually satisfy one very much. Similarly, to merge into Brahman, to develop mystic powers, to become an expert materialist, these will not actually satisfy the soul, only by becoming fully Krishna conscious. Therefore, Prahlada said, Tvavirya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachita, because I've learned the art of being able to hear various activities. Therefore, when I hear them, these words enter into my heart, and I at once realize your form, quality, and I enter into your pastimes and become overwhelmed with transcendental happiness. And therefore, I feel completely satisfied. So Prahlada Maharaj learned the process of hearing and chanting very nicely in such a way is that by doing so, at once the Supreme Lord would appear within him. That is called smaranam, or remembrance. This is why we're hearing. This is why we're trying to practice chanting. So one day, by doing so, by hearing, chanting, one day, very easily, remembrance will automatically come. But Prahlada Maharaj says, still, so chevimukha chetasa indriyartha. I am lamenting. Although I've learned the art, I've come to the perfect platform of Krishna consciousness, still, there's something that I feel is lacking. So chevimukha chetasa indriyartha. Maya sukhaya param udvahato vimuda. That there are so many fools and rascals in this material world who don't know what is the actual purpose of life. They are making a big show of being successful. It is said, Svavidra Hostra Karar Samstuta Purusha Pashu. So many hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they're all praising and congratulating each other over their success in materialistic activities. But they're vimudans. They're fools. Not ordinary fools, but they're super fools. Because they've created, Srila Prabhupada said, a humbug civilization. A civilization where people are proud of their so-called advancement, but actually their so-called advancement, when compared to real advancement, real spiritual bliss, real spiritual awareness, real spiritual security, permanency, is all superficial and false. Therefore, although they're failures, although they've created so many problems for themselves, they're so foolish that they're encouraged by the miseries they've created. And they're more enthusiastic to create further miseries. They're already living in a hellish condition, and they're so fooled that they're thinking that this is heaven. And they're creating plans to make it even a more hellish situation in the name of material progress. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj is lamenting, just like if one sees a person walking over a cliff, and if he thinks, oh, I don't want to bother him. I don't want to agitate his mind. He's blind, but if I call out, he may become disturbed. So let him walk over the cliff and find out for himself. Andaya tandero pagiyamanas te pisha tantra uru dami vada. Not only the people in general are blind, but even their leaders are blind, and they're all progressing towards a more and more difficult situation. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj wants to stay in the material world and teach people how to revive their Krishna consciousness. How to learn how to hear about Krishna, how to chant about Krishna, how to remember Krishna, how to become perfectly engaged in Krishna's service. And he laments that there are other persons that have something to offer, but they don't offer. Why do they not offer? Because they actually have not very much to offer. Just like one popular transcendentalist, so-called transcendentalist, one time I was giving a lecture in one yoga studio, and it was a bookstore, and in the bookstore they had so many books of so many spiritualists, a few of Prabhupada's, and hundreds of others. And one of the most popular of these spiritualists, he wrote so many books, and his most popular book, as we've explained before, we opened it up, and it was all blank pages. Nothing in it. This was his highest realization. This is what, it didn't take him very long to write the book, because after writing so many other books, he came to the conclusion, and he wrote this book in a very short time, full of blank pages. And this was his final statement. Because that was about what all his knowledge was worth. He expressed it all in his last book, that book. Absolutely nothing. So they have not very much to offer. As Prabhupada said, there's one so-called yogi, he spoke for 6 hours on nothing. And people were walking out of the meeting saying, what a wonderful lecture. He actually spoke for 6 hours on nothing. So this is the mentality of people who become attracted to such things. They have not very much to offer, and therefore they don't try to offer these things to others. They generally try to stay in their own little situation. But they don't come to the cities. Even if they come to the cities, they open up their little yoga studio. They don't go and preach door to door to everyone because they don't have the real universal vision of how to engage people in the service of Krishna. It's either you give up your materialistic life or you go to hell. Or some of them, they say, keep on with your materialistic life and everything's okay. So they themselves are just materialists. They have nothing more to add. They simply are coming to take people's money away. But those who are trying to become spiritualists, sometimes they think, well, let these people do whatever they want. I will simply become save myself and then everything will be all right. Because after all, we're all one. So if I become saved, then it's as good as everyone becoming saved. But the devotee knows that everyone is an individual. Everyone has a unique relationship with Krishna. Therefore, he goes door to door to offer people this opportunity to take to Krishna service, to take proper guidance, because this is people's choice. Either they can become directed by the devotee of Krishna, the self-realized devotee, or they can become directed by others and choose so many varieties of materialistic activities. They can take shelter of the pundits in Wall Street and become wealthy. They can take shelter of the gyanis and get their PhD degree. They can take shelter of the yogis and develop some kind of influence over people and do some magic, take people's money away, get some followers. They can become followers of so many different mahajans or dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasa panta. Or that they can take shelter of the devotee of Krishna and learn from him how to perform devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, he's especially developed this movement for a preaching movement, to give people all over the world the opportunity to engage their bodies, to engage their words, to engage their intelligence, to engage their wealth, to engage their lives in preaching Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, we have to become Krishna conscious. It is not that we simply preach, but we also should be Krishna conscious. Then we'll have something to be enthusiastic about preaching about. Not that we tell everyone, you become Krishna conscious, whatever it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but you become that. Take these books, become Krishna conscious. And me, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'll just do whatever I want. No, Krishna Bhakti Rasita Bhavita Maha. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. Kriyatam Iti Kutopi Labhyate. Tatra Loyam Mulyam Ekalam. Janma Koti Sukritarna Labhyate. Krishna consciousness means Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. To learn how to become absorbed in the mellows of Krishna consciousness. How actually to feel to become aware of Krishna and to feel transcendental love for Him. That means one has to learn how to focus his consciousness upon Krishna. How to fully, that comes in the beginning by fully dedicating oneself to Krishna's service and at the same time learning how to fix the mind upon the form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna. Because unless one is feeling some jubilation, prasanatma, some joyfulness, then what is the difference between Krishna consciousness and material life? If in material life I'm morose, and in Krishna consciousness I'm just as morose, but I'm Krishna consciously morose. That I'm a devotee. Therefore, although I'm morose and everyone else is morose, but at least I'm more exaltedly morose than everyone else. I have a philosophy behind my moroseness. No, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, if I'm really Krishna conscious, then I must be joyful. I have to become joyful. And what is the symptom? Nishoshiti Nakankshiti. No longer am I hankering for material things or lamenting because of them, because my mind is fixed on Krishna. Narayana parasarave kutaschana vivyate. It doesn't matter to me what my circumstance is, because I don't live in these circumstances. I live in thoughts of Krishna. I'm living in Vaikuntha in Krishna's pastimes. Or at least we must live in Krishna philosophy. We have to live in that thought that I have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So I have to act, I have to do something for Krishna, and simultaneously I have to be in this Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning we may be very dutiful, that has to be there. That always is the basic principle. That what does Krishna want me to do? What does Krishna's devotees want me to do? If I think Krishna wants me to do one thing and the devotees, for instance, in the beginning when we're not so discerning, we have to accept, very carefully follow the authorities. There are different types of authorities. There's the temple president, the GVC, the temple commander, my bhakti leader, etc. Therefore, one has to be following their instructions. Because in this way, I have some link to Krishna, that I'm doing something to please Krishna through his devotees. And as one develops more and more, one is able to understand what does Krishna want through his devotees, through all different types of devotees. A third-class devotee, he only sees his authorities and the deities as representative Krishna. He must at least see that much. If he doesn't see that much, he's not even a third class, he's not even a devotee. If I can't even realize that Krishna is represented through his authorities, then it's simply my imagination what Krishna wants. But the second class devotee, which we're aspiring to become, he sees all the devotees as Krishna's representative, and he knows, he can discern what Krishna wants through them. How to serve the devotees and therefore please Krishna. And how to please Krishna by serving the devotees. And the first class devotee, he sees everyone as Krishna's servant. And he serves everyone by serving Krishna in that way. Therefore, at least we have to come to second class platform, acting in Krishna consciousness, and just to satisfy Krishna. And that comes to that order of Krishna. In other words, whatever we're doing, we have to learn how to discern what Krishna wants. So that order of Krishna comes to the disciplic succession. Not that we do things whimsically, and in the name of Krishna consciousness, we act according to our own imagination. No, we have to thoughtfully consider what Krishna wants by taking shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And then one will naturally think of Krishna. Then there won't be any problem to think of Krishna. Then Krishna's form, Krishna's quality, Krishna's pastime, his loving exchanges will all naturally come. But if I have doubts, who are these people I'm living with? What are their motives? What are they doing here? What are these people? What are these things? What are these statues on the altar? Is that really Krishna? If I have so many doubts, then it'll be very hard to think of Krishna in the proper way. Therefore, we have these classes. And in the classes, one is supposed to think thoughtfully, what is he saying? Not that, yes, I've heard this so many times, that I never accepted it the first time, I didn't accept it the second time, this is my 5,000th time, I still don't accept it. But I'm too embarrassed to say anything, because then they won't think I'm the most exalted, elevated devotee, or someone may criticize me, or they think, wow, you've been around here for so long, how do you have any doubts? How do you, don't believe blindly in all these things? You're actually asking a question? How embarrassing. So one has to overcome these doubts about having doubts, overcome these misconceptions that I'm not supposed, that Pariksit Maharaj, he was a neophyte devotee, therefore he asked questions and actually listened to the answers from Shukadeva Goswami. But I'm way beyond that. I don't have any idea what's really going on here, but I'll never admit it because you have to be strong. No, one has to see that if I'm not experiencing transcendental love for Krishna, if I'm not able to think of him very easily, if I'm not actually joyful, prasanatma, if I'm still hankering, lamenting, if I don't see living entities equally, that means I have not come to the actual platform of Krishna consciousness. And by the process of hearing, by the process of trying to understand things more clearly, by the process of trying to follow according to my understanding, what I've understood, and that means that there must be fresh realizations every day. Not that once every year I understand something, and I hope that next year Krishna will give me another present and I'll understand something else. No, there has to be fresh realizations, so I'm inspired to act on those realizations, and therefore by acting those realizations I make further and further progress, and I become more and more enthusiastic to hear, because it's by the hearing process that I'm able to understand and inquire further and act more perfectly in Krishna's service and come to higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was expert at this process, and at the same time he wanted to give this process to others. So he had to become expert at the process, at hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna, and at the same time we have to go and try to give this process to others. That if we are sincere, understand the value of this Krishna consciousness, try to give it to others, Krishna will become pleased. He'll inspire us to hear and chant about him more, and if we hear and chant about him more, then we'll be inspired to go and give this knowledge to others also. So, thanks. We'll stop here. Read the verse again. Prayena deva muniyaksa vimukti kama maunam charanti vijanena pratanishta naitan vihaya kripanan vivimuksha eko nanyam tvarasya sharnam brahmato nupashe. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, mona vrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet.
Well, Prabhupada said, he once wrote to one Gurukul student, he said, I heard that you're learning mathematics. So he said, our math, just like 2 plus 3 is equal to 5, and 4 plus 2 is equal to 6. So Krishna plus everywhere, anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So if you always remember Krishna, then you'll always be in Vrindavan. In other words, if the attitude is that now I'm going to do these books, and there's so many numbers, and these numbers have nothing to do with Krishna, these books have nothing to do with Krishna, I just have to be tortured for 3 hours and hope that Krishna takes pity on me, and afterwards he'll give me some Krishna consciousness. But that's Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite Anashaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunditaha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. That if we're in the transcendental vision, then we'll realize that there's nothing outside of Krishna's energies. These books are Krishna's energies, his pen is Krishna's energy, my body and mind and intelligence, they're part of Krishna's energy. And therefore I'm doing this service, I'm going to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. That this is what has to be done, I'm doing it to please him. Then the result is that although we may not see immediately Krishna's form or his pastimes, but it's devotion, the mood is devotional. And therefore, Krishna will give us more and more intelligence how to do it in such a way as that we will one day be able to think of him while we're doing it. After all, it's not we who are doing the bookkeeping. Krishna is the one who's directing us. He's giving us all the intelligence to do it. So at least to that extent, we should realize it. If I see it materially, then it'll remain material. If I see it spiritually, as much as I can, and try to see it spiritually, then it becomes spiritual. Not that it's impractical, that I have to sit there and meditate on Krishna's form, quality pastimes, but this is also one of Krishna's pastimes, doing the books for the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Is that clear? Yes. Dwarka. Yeah, they were fully absorbed. They were so much absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, they forgot about their own selves. That doesn't mean that if someone asked them, who are you? They'd say, well, I'm Krishna. It means that that was the extent. They were just so absorbed in remembering Krishna. But that did, they still had their individual personalities. But they weren't so much aware of them as much as they were aware of Krishna. Because these things we cannot imitate. Although they were aware of Krishna, still they were expert in everything they did. Everything they did was in devotion. So this is called expanded consciousness. One can be so conscious, so Krishna conscious, that simultaneously just being so absorbed in Krishna, one can be doing everything so expertly. Well, the first thing we should do is be interested in our own spiritual life. So if we're interested in our own spiritual life and that develops, then we'll be able to see how others are also engaged in spiritual life. As far as politics, what other people are doing, if I see them engage in Krishna service, then how will I become disturbed? If I see them engage in materialistic activities, that will disturb me. So it's a question of dealing with people in such a way as that it's devotional service. Tadati pratigrihati kunyamakyati prichyati bhunte bojayate chaiva shadvidam pratilakshana. Offering gifts in charity, receiving charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam and offering prasadam. These are the 6 symptoms of love shared by one devotee to another. So if my dealings are within these 6 categories in devotional service, then it will enlighten me and enthuse me more and more in Krishna consciousness. And how to, and with whom to engage in these activities, that's also mentioned. Krishneti yasya giritam manasedriyeta dikshasti chat praniti vishtabhajantam isham shushu shubhi shabhajanam ananya anya indati sunya ridayam yuksita sangalabdhya. So for those who are neophyte devotees who chant Hare Krishna but at the same time do not carefully follow the principles, the rules and regulations of devotional service, my relationship with them should be from a distance. I should respect them within my mind, but I shouldn't intimately associate with them. And for those who are engaged in devotional service, who follow the rules and regulations, and engage themselves in the service of the spiritual master and the deities, then I can assist them and associate with them. And for those who are in advanced and undeviated devotional service, and whose hearts are devoid of the propensity to criticize others, especially, then I should surrender to them. I should follow their instructions. So how I see others, you know, if I in these three categories, at least I should see that the devotees are in one of these three categories. And then I should reciprocate with them accordingly, according to those six types of loving exchanges. No, we don't have any problem seeing faults. But we shouldn't take them very seriously. In other words, we have to see faults. Unless we see faults, we'll be imitating a first-class devotee. But we shouldn't remain on the third-class platform where all I see is faults. Faults are there, but I should also see the devotion, devotional service rendered by the devotees. And therefore, according to their level of devotional service they're rendering, I should reciprocate with them accordingly. Even for one who's full of faults, at least I can appreciate their chanting Hare Krishna. So they may not associate with them very intimately. Still, my relationship with them is that of appreciation, but from afar, a distance. And for those who are actually seriously engaged in devotional service, then the amount of fault I should see is minimum. And therefore, I should assist them in their service, cooperate with them. So at least we should come to that platform. Not that I think that everyone is more or less a rascal and fool, but by some inexplicable mercy, somehow or another, they're vibrating something that appears to be the holy name. That's not very good. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted us at least, he emphasized cooperation. Even if we can't fully appreciate even our hearts don't open up and flow with appreciation towards all the devotees, but at least their cooperation should be there, so we can one day come to that platform. Excuse me? Not necessarily, but it depends on our relationship with the person. Just like with your daughter, this little one here, then obviously you can't leave it to someone else, unless your husband, because no one else is going to correct the fault. And you're the authority, so it's more likely she'll listen to you. But for another person who doesn't accept you as an authority, if by trying to correct the fault you create a conflict, then that's not very good. Therefore, one has to be sensitive enough to know what is my relationship with different devotees and then try to act according to that relationship. That, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should not instruct someone if by instructing them one will agitate their minds. But if one is actually accepted as an authority, then one can give one good instructions. And how the instruction should be given is that it should be a valuable instruction, should be given in a pleasing way, it should be a beneficial instruction, should be supported by the Vedas, and it shouldn't agitate their minds. So if I can speak in that way, then it'll benefit them, and it'll also benefit myself. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.